Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
The choice is in your hands.
Britain decides.
Most of the countries in the world are outside the European Union, and they're doing very nicely, thank you.
Britain decides.
I believe that Britain will be safer, stronger, and better off in a reformed European Union.
You're listening to Britain Decides, the EU referendum debate on TRE.
It's the most profound political decision of my lifetime.
Britain Decides.
With Stephen Ritson.
It's time to speak up.
Good afternoon. It's 9 minutes past 12. We're live. Welcome to the fourth of our special programmes on Talk Radio Europe, dedicated to the British referendum on membership of the European Union, to take place on the 23rd of June. Looking at our website, I see your votes currently stand at Remain 59.6%, Leave 37.7%, and Undecided 2.6%. A few more Undecideds compared to this time last week. Then it was 1.8%, now it's 2.6%. Before we move on, just the latest developments in the UK. Boris Johnson, one of the leaders of the Leave campaign, from Vote Leave, the officially designated one, he's taken the campaign to Cornwall, where he's told farmers that they'd be better off outside Europe. He claims that the government would keep supporting them while the country's fishing industry would have more control. The former mayor of London also believes the UK would save £10 billion a year that's currently being spent by the EU.
Some of it literally going up in smoke on Greek tobacco subsidies, or I think about £110 million of common agricultural policy money literally goes on supporting Spanish bullfighting.
Spanish bullfighting there. As we were hearing at the top of the hour news bulletin here on TRE, former Prime Minister Gordon Brown says leaving the EU would trigger an employment rights backlash. He's given a speech in London. He said membership protects workers and prevents a dog-eat-dog market.
Underpinning the European Union and the social chapter and the social policy is this view that we must prevent a race to the bottom where the good-paying country or employer or company is not undercut by the bad, and the bad is not undercut by the worst.
He says that UK trade is 55% higher than if we weren't part of the European Union.
When you look at the European Union, it's going to be best for the jobs of the future. It's going to be the main way we deal with tax havens. It's going to be the best way we deal with terrorism, where you want to work in cooperation with other countries and can only succeed if you do so.
And the final thing before we get cracking, the latest odds, according to a plethora of bookies, this is, we're taking the best ones from across the board. To remain is 11-4 odds on, so the bookmakers think that people will vote to remain as things stand, and to leave, the current rate, this is live for you, changing, of course, all the time, 13-5, those odds. A little later on in the programme today, we'll be joined by Myra Cecilia Atsopardi, familiar to regular TRE listeners, comes into the studio often and talks to Bill Padley in the mornings. She's from Citizens Advice Bureau Spain. Christine Rowland is with Conservatives in Europe. She'll be joining us. And Dr. Charles Betty is from International Labour. Today, the thrust of our programme will be surrounding, well, our membership of the European Union as expats. What are the consequences for Britons in the EU? And what are the consequences for EU citizens in the UK? Should we stay or should we leave? But I'm just having a look here, seeing we were due to go over to France now to speak to Graham Pigney from Say Yes to Europe. He's living in Carcassonne area in the south of France. He's not joining us on the line yet, so we'll get him on in the meantime. Then we may as well go straight over to our studio in Marbella to speak to Myra. Good afternoon, Myra.
Good afternoon, everyone, Stephen and the listeners.
Hi. Hi. So, Myra, let's start, because the emphasis here is on expats. And reminder for our listeners, if you want to join in the conversation, if you've got any question to ask any of our guests, then you're very welcome to do that by calling us on 952-78-4000. You can tweet using the hashtag BritainDecides. You can email studio@talkradioeurope.com, or you can leave a message on our forum at talkradioeurope.com. Myra, let's start with the beginnings. What are the main concerns that people that phone or contact your organization, what are the main concerns that they have should Britain decide to leave the EU?
Well, I suppose really we could say it covers a plethora of things, really. They have concern about pensions, they have concern about healthcare, and they have some concerns that they don't even know about yet, or they will have. So it covers quite a lot, actually, much more than I think a lot of residents in Spain from the UK are actually realising at the moment.
I suppose one of the things, say, starting with pensions, one of the things that some people are concerned about... We're just hearing Rob Humphries. You can tell it's live, like
yes,
a telephone in the
too.
Background there. No problem. One of the concerns would be that if you live in the UK and in certain other countries and you're a pensioner, then your pension goes up according to government-set criteria. But one of the concerns is that should Britain leave, that Britain's pensions will be frozen. Have people asked you that?
Yes. This, again, is two ways to look at this, because there are a lot more, much as equally important areas that we should be looking at. But you can also think that if we did leave, and I'm going to give you two sides, that we have to take into consideration that Britain also has agreements with many other countries that are not in the EU region on social security and pensions. In fact, they have agreements with countries such as Barbados, Bermuda, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Jersey, Guernsey, the Isle of Man, Jamaica, Israel, Macedonia. So we could say, well, if Brexit was to happen, that there could be agreements made with Spain is the same as with these other countries. Of course, in some countries, such as I think the USA, maybe Australia, you don't get this increase in pensions. So agreement could be made with Spain so your pensions can be paid, but maybe not the increase.
What's just slightly confusing me there is presumably if this is British, the British Treasury paying British pensioners wherever they live in the UK or outside,
yes,
and they decide to increase it, what does that actually have to do with any other country? Surely that's just a
unilateral
British decision.
Well, it's not. It's actually part of the EU agreement as well that it would be increased here, besides Britain. But the whole point here is that Britain decides, and with whichever country, whether there's an agreement or not.
Right. So at the moment, is it an EU-wide thing? In other words, if a British pensioner is living in any country in the European Union, that they will automatically receive this raise in pension?
Yes.
Okay. Myra, thanks. I appreciate your patience on this. If you can just hold on there, hold tight. Well, I was going to say, ask Rob to make you a nice coffee, but but Rob's too busy at the moment. We do have now, we'll come back to you, of course, we do have with us Graham Pigney on the line from France. He's from Say Yes to Europe. Bonjour, Monsieur Pigney.
Bonjour, Stéphane.
Enchanté. Nice to speak to you. Really what I wanted to concentrate on, I mean, of course, you're on your name indicates it. Your website is Say Yes to Europe with the number 2 .com. You have a blog on there I've been reading over the last few days. But rather than sort of pushing the Remain camp, I'd just like to get a feeling from you for our listeners of how expats in France are feeling about this. Before that, we have figures, let's maybe for now not argue with them too much, roughly 283,000 Brits are officially registered in Spain, so on the Padrón. According to the ambassador a couple of weeks ago, we spoke to him, he reckons about 800,000 Brits are here, spending a lot of the time, if not all of the time, and unofficially here. What are the figures for France, more or less?
They are rather lower, probably about half in both cases, for similar reasons as the permanently registered ones. France doesn't have any compulsory registration, so there's a lot of people who live here who are not necessarily registered as an EU national from another country.
So in France, if you don't live there, you know, there's the taxation issue. If you, in Spain, I think it's 185 days, or maybe 183, but roughly that. If you live in Spain, you spend that time in Spain, then you have to be tax resident in Spain. You have to register here. Is that not the case in France?
Yes, there is as far as the taxation goes, but okay. I believe, as there is probably in Spain, there's a lot of flexibility when people decide that they're going to register, if you like. So a lot of people have here permanently, others still maintain a presence in the UK.
What's the feeling that you get on the street, so to speak, your friends, people you meet in the bars and cafes, and perhaps even members of your organisation clearly want to remain in the European Union. But what's the feeling that you get from Brits in France? What are their main concerns?
Their concerns are that we're sleepwalking into this decision because the debate is going on at a very high level and has very little relevance or acknowledgement of how the EU affects individuals, families. So their concerns are that. They're also very concerned the way the debate is turning at the moment on immigration in general. And a lot of that is being blamed on EU freedom of movement, which is plainly not true.
So I mean, in France, of course, you have an immigration issue. You have perhaps not the largest Muslim population in Europe. I think numbers-wise, I saw yesterday that was Germany, but as a percentage of the population, I think it's 7.5%. We have an increase. It's not a majority, but we've seen quite an increase in support for the Front National, Marine Le Pen's National Front Party, which would like France to leave the European Union, and they blame immigrants and whatever the ins and outs of that for now. The expat community there, is there a similar feeling, or is it very different?
Yeah, I think it's very different. Being expatriates, being migrants yourself, you take a different view of it. Just on the question of the Front National, the French for years have used the Front National as a way of keeping the left and the right parties in line. To see them, the Front National, popping up at the moment is not surprising, given that we're heading towards presidential elections. I don't see them any more than they have done in the past, getting past a first round as an effective force. When they get to the second round, they're usually eliminated.
Sure, because you have that system in France, Chile. Chile is another country. If there's no overall majority in the first round, it's the top two that go head-to-head. And as you say, then, as we had once with Jean-Marie Le Pen, her father, versus Sarkozy or Chirac, I can't remember which one it was, and therefore people who would vote socialist, normally many of those voted for the Les Républicains, as it's called now, the centre-right party, in order to keep the far-right out. In Spain, we hear many expats saying, on the leave side, they say, well, if we left, then, of course, British people resident in Spain, and of course, tourists, it's so important to the Spanish economy that undoubtedly Spain would negotiate proper, sensible, favourable, mutually agreeable individual deals. They'd sign bilateral treaties with the UK. Is that the feeling? Is that an argument that people want to leave in France, say?
I think there's a couple of flaws in there. The negotiations will happen between the EU and the UK as to what transitional arrangements are. I'm not one of those people that go along with the view that people are going to be sent back to the UK and have their property confiscated and their pensions suddenly cut. A number of those things go back beyond the UK's connection with the EU. I think long-term expats, and that's generally the feeling that I'm getting, long-term residents, they will have protection for their current situation. Whether that's true for people that have only been in a country for 3 or 4 years or only there part-time, that is something else, and that will be down to how EU and the UK, if the UK leaves, get on.
Graham, I understand we were talking yesterday, you and I had a brief chat yesterday afternoon, and you mentioned to me your son, who is a case in point, a European, a modern European, an EU citizen. He was 4 years old, is that right, when you went to France?
That's right, yeah.
And he's now 22
That's
years
right,
old.
Yeah.
I understand he's, I don't know if he's hovering or sat next to you. Is he around there? Could we have a word with him?
He's certainly around. I will, he's got headphones on so he can listen to you in the other room.
I see. Okay, with that'll be a 40-second delay, so something like that, or 30 seconds.
He's just about coming to the phone now.
He is. Hi, Rob. Hello.
Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Rob. It's Rob, not our Rob, our producer in Marbella, Rob Humphreys, Rob Pigney, joining us from France. Rob, what's your feeling on this? You're 22 years old now. Do you have French citizenship, or is it still a British passport?
It's still a British passport. Do you want to go on how I feel about this immediately, or do you want to...
Well, go on. We haven't got much time, but I'd like to know two things. Well, one, you know, your feeling on this, of course, and secondly, if the UK were to leave, would you consider acquiring French citizenship?
Okay, well, on the issue of Brexit, I feel that the issue is a lot of people are not sure what the whole thing is. Nobody really knows what everything is going to be like if and when the UK leaves, and people don't seem to be that interested in getting a full picture, or they don't seem to be trying hard enough, in my opinion, to get a nice, clear picture of what's going to happen. And, you know, if you're leaping out the frying pan, you really want to make sure you're not jumping into the fire just because you don't like the frying pan. And that's definitely something I get the impression, you know, when I talk to people and so on. If the UK were to leave the EU, I'm somewhat disinclined to get, you know, a French nationality, you know, because I'm British. I love France. I live here. But, you know, I'm British. I'm English. You know, I'm disinclined. But if the UK leaves, for example, being able to vote is a big issue for me. And if the UK leaves, I will no longer be entitled to vote in European and municipal elections, as it stands now, I am. And to be able to exercise my political freedom, I may be forced to do something like that, to take French nationality in order to, you know, control my own future France.
Do you happen to know, Britain allows dual nationality, Spain doesn't, by the way, anybody listening to us in Spain and thinking of the same sort of thing, you have to surrender, you have to swear that you've surrendered your any other nationality if you become Spanish. Do you happen to know in France, can you have dual nationality?
Yes, I do believe that's the case. Right. And, you know, I've got nothing against France. It's just that, you know, I'm British and I feel that, you know, being solely British is something that I'd like.
OK. Thanks, Rob. Could you just pass us briefly back to your dad? Appreciate that.
Yeah, give me just a tick.
Cheers.
OK, I'll just pass you over in just a tick.
Right, thank you. OK, so now Graham Pigney is on the line. He's from Say Yes to Europe.
Hi,
Graham,
Steve.
You back with us? Hi.
Yes, I'm
just,
back with you.
Just finally, we have Rob Humphreys, producer in Marbella, has had a tweet, I think it is, in that he thinks relevant to you. Rob, go ahead.
Actually, it's an email, Stephen, but we won't split hairs at the moment. Had a very interesting email from Robert Dunford. It seems to be Rob is the name of the day today.
Yeah.
Robert Dunford said, querying articles in various UK papers yesterday and across all the social media as well, saying that people in France have now asked for a referendum on membership of the EU. Over 50%, 53% are wanting out of Europe, claiming that Germany's got over 60% now who want out of Europe. Your son, Robert, mentioned about jumping out of the frying pan and into the fire, and it's very much this issue of is the fire actually about to blow up in our faces, isn't it?
Well, I think it is, because I think that a Brexit not only would be destructive for Britain, it will be destructive for the EU project. And there is undoubtedly concerns about the direction the EU project takes, which has been exacerbated by the refugee crisis and also because of the crisis within the Eurozone, which we are, fortunately, in the UK, we're outside the Eurozone.
That's very interesting, isn't it? Because, to be honest, I guess Boris Johnson would say we'd rather have our own fire.
Well, I don't go in for self-immolation myself. It seems a very unattractive prospect. There's a very good piece from Gordon Brown today in The Guardian, and he says we should be leading, not leaving. And certainly, I think that's the view. There's a lot that the UK can contribute.
Graham, we're going to have to leave it there because tempus fugit, as we say in old European.
Yes.
Right. Thanks, Graham. Appreciate you joining us. That was Graham Pigney from Say Yes to Europe. The time is exactly 28 and a half minutes past 12.
Britain Decides. TRE's coverage of Britain's EU referendum is hosted by Stephen Ridson, with expert guests, speakers from both sides, and your comments. Join in the debate on our online forum at talkradioeurope.com.
John Thornborough says, my brother-in-law lives in France. He's self-employed in the UK, and his French accountant says he must pay tax in the country where his income is derived from, and that's the UK. Maybe we'll ask Myra if she knows if that's the same case in Spain. Myra Cecilia Tsopardi from Citizens Advice Bureau Spain in our studio at the moment. Can we take that quickly and then we'll go to Raymond in Mallorca? Go ahead, Myra.
Yes, it's not my region, Texas, but taxes for residents are in the country where of your habitual residence, not the country that it's necessarily derived from. If you have to pay, there's double taxation agreements, so you have to pay something in another country, you still have to pay your taxes in the country you live in.
Right, okay. I see. So, for example, if I were doing this program from Cologne in Germany, which I sometimes do, and if I were living in Cologne, officially registered there, then I would have to pay the tax on income from Talk Radio Europe. Good luck with that one. Then I would have to pay that in Germany and not in Spain, even though the money is from Spain.
You'd certainly have to make your tax declaration there, and then the double taxation agreement will come in. But, of course, your money's being eventually transferred to you, isn't it? But tax is not my strong point. But I would like to preamble when you come back to me, because there's a few important things I'd like to say rather than just answer the questions. I think it's really important for us here in Spain, if I may.
Well, 100%. We'll do that. First of all, we'll go over to Mallorca, to Raymond. Hi, Raymond.
Yes, hello there. Good afternoon. It's just it's about the medical care for British pensioners residing in Spain. As we know at the moment, this is paid for by the British government. Of course, it's an unknown quantity what will happen if we leave, if and when we leave. That's one point. The second point is, at the moment in Spain, non-EU citizens do get residence permits. Yes, I don't know how many, but they do. I know some Russians. If we leave the European Union, our status will change. We will become non-EU citizens. Is it just a possibility? You know, we're covering possibilities, aren't we? Is it possible we may need to reapply for new residence permits as non-EU citizens, and in some cases they will be granted? That's about it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, bye. Raymond. We'll speak to you on the radio, if you don't mind, to keep the line free. Thanks, Raymond. Myra,
This is one of the things I wanted to preamble about, because there's certain fears, as we all know, for the Brexit group, and one of them was sovereignty, which is absolutely, it's really autonomy on powers. That's not going to happen, because before UK signed to join the EU in 1973, one of the laws includes that the power of a nation to establish and enforce its laws cannot overthrow most laws, for instance, decided in Parliament. Not even the UK courts can overthrow most laws. So you see, there are truths. People are saying we haven't got information. I don't know why the parties are not given the information, because the information is there. And when nobody's telling you anything, what I do is I go to laws. And this is to do with the person that's just rang up. Go to the law. You're actually a member of the European community. You're living in Spain as a resident here. Remember, there's permanent and non-permanent resident. You're immediately going to become a member of a third-party country. Now, remember when you go through the airport and you see the EU pass nice and quick and you see the others, we will be in the others. So there's not just your pension. You're no longer going to be a member of the EU, so you can expect to be treated as a third country citizen. As regards permanent, people who have got permanent residency will be a little bit better off than those that haven't. But remember, for everybody coming over, so much is going to change, I think, and we need to look at that. The question again was, what would happen? Would he have to reapply? Doubtful if he's a permanent resident, but if he's not a permanent resident, he hasn't been here for 5 years, he could very well have his case looked at, and it would, Britain would be able to ask people to leave.
This issue of permanent residency, they had and they've scrapped it. It was a sort of short thing that was a bit chaotic, I think.
No, they haven't scrapped it.
I was just going to say that you had your residencia. You didn't apply for your residencia. And then you had to reapply every 5 years. Yeah. If you didn't reapply for it, it automatically expired. Is that still the case?
Stephen, that was the case with the old cards. Remember the photo cards? They did expire. But since we got in the A4 certificate, they don't expire. So after 5 years, you're a permanent resident, whether you change it or not. And I would advise everybody to change it, and they're going to have problems changing it in a lot of places. Change it for one that says, it'll be a small one now, it says con carácter permanente, that you're a permanent resident. This is in case of a Brexit, a little bit more protection, because those, and remember, Britain, apparently Cameron and Merkel in February, made an agreement about EU workers in UK. And the agreement they made is not very, it's not very attractive for the EU workers. So we've got to remember that once, if Britain's going to, everybody's on about immigration, I'm jumping a bit, there's so much to say quickly. If you think about the immigration, that's freedom of movement, is to do with EU citizens, not Syrians, not Muslims, not anybody else. Because you come out of EU, you're losing that freedom of movement, a law, which also protects Britain from people going in there. You've got to remember that the laws are already there. If you think you don't know the answers, look at the law. It's there.
We had Robert Oxley from Vote Leave, their chief spokesperson, I suppose, on last week. And in the week before, somebody else on the Leave campaign, they've both quoted, they said the Vienna Convention, Article 70, this refers to the Vienna Convention of 1969, yes. Article 70. They say this would protect people if Britain were to leave. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, of course.
Yes.
But Article 70 is consequences of the termination of a treaty. And essentially it says, second paragraph, part B. It says it doesn't affect the termination of a treaty, in other words, if we were to tear up our relationship with the EU as it stands, it doesn't affect any right, obligation or legal situation of the parties created through the execution of the treaty prior to its termination. In other words, you tear up a treaty, any rights or obligations, but any rights or legal status that people have before that's torn up, then that is guaranteed.
Okay, so we can say
you're, that way?
Well, you can say that your permanent residency is guaranteed, and I agree with that. But it's not guaranteed if you're not a permanent resident, because you haven't got that status before the agreement. You'd have to have that status before the agreement is concluded.
So, if anything, it would be a warning. Not to want to scare people, but it would be a warning that any British person who effectively lives here, but are not officially registered because they want to maybe use their British GP in the UK and they pretend that they're still officially living at an address there, that perhaps it might be advisable for them to get that status now, perhaps before the 23rd of June or before.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people that don't even have residency status, and they're really going to find problems. And the out party, because I don't disagree with things from the in party and the out party, and there's too much propaganda and we want truth, and that's why I keep saying look at the law and look at the European Freedom of Movement law. It's very easy to see. And of course the out party is going to say you're going to be protected. Well, are you going to stand up and say I'm an EU citizen? Because if UK makes a choice, so will the other countries. Spain is going to say, right, our citizens in Spain can't do this and that. Your citizens in UK, your citizens, they'll have the right to say your citizens in Spain are third world country citizens. They do not have the rights they had before.
Okay. Or non-EU, not third world, but non-EU.
You can't be EU if you're not EU. So there's those losses.
Just briefly, because we've got another couple of guests to get to with Myra as well, staying with us, hopefully. But just briefly back to Raymond in Mallorca. Raymond, you had a follow-up question.
No? Raymond?
He's left.
He's left.
He's gone right to UK.
Well, we'll have to squeeze a break in now. It's exactly 20 minutes to one.
Britain Designs. You're listening to Britain Decides, the EU referendum debate on TRE.
Well, it's getting pretty busy for us on Britain Decides, as you know. We're joined now by Christine Rowland from Conservatives in Europe. Hi, Christine.
Good afternoon.
Hi. And also on the line from Malaga City, I understand, is Dr. Charles Betty from International Labour. Hi, Charles.
Hello. Yeah.
Hi. Christine, first to you. Interesting, one of you is a Conservative, one of you is Labour, which doesn't in itself give us an indication of which way you would tend to go. Christine, would you want Britain to remain or to leave?
I have to say, first of all, I speak on my own behalf and not on behalf of Conservatives abroad.
Okay, right. This is your personal view.
This is my personal view.
Your personal view?
Yeah, and my personal view is that it would be political suicide to come out.
Right. And you're an expat living in Spain, I imagine?
Yes, I am.
Right. And have you lived here since Spain has been in the European Union, or does your time here sort of cross both sides?
No, I've lived here since 1989, and I lived 6 years in Barcelona prior to that under the Franco regime.
Can you give us some tangible things, perhaps, where you've seen your life become easier, I would imagine, since Spain has joined the European Union? Things that you had to do before that, should we leave, you may have to do once again.
Well, yes, I would hate to think that we'd have to queue 3 hours to get a residencia, that we would have to wait 6 months to get a telephone. I think it would be a step backwards. That there are so many things that... I can't even begin to list them.
The people that you encounter in the... I'm imagining, maybe it's presumptuous, but because you're in a Marbella studio that you're living relatively close, the concerns from other British expats, the feeling that you get, is it remain, leave, 50-50? What is it?
At the moment, it's 50-50, but this isn't permanent residence. Permanent residence, I would say, is 80-20.
Okay. And what are the main concerns that they might have?
Well, there are several, as Myra mentioned, the health concern, and another thing, of course, is the European health card. If we leave the EU, is our European health card going to be accepted in Britain if we return? My husband is 90. We can't afford private health. So where do we go if he wants to see his family and falls ill?
Okay, we'll come to Myra with that issue in just a moment. Charles Betty from International Labour, who's in Malaga City. Charles, what's your feeling? Because you're coming from it from a different political angle there, but are you to remain or to leave?
Well, I agree with most of what Christine has said. I'm a firm supporter that Britain should continue in the European Union. There's more to gain and a lot to lose, particularly for people that live out in Spain, for example. I was reading recently from something written by John Springford on behalf of the Centre for European Reform, and he says things like there are tremendous fears about Britain possibly leaving the EU, and that would put pressure on British expats in revenge. For example, Spain could ask British retirees to pay for their own health care. Well, that's interesting. I'm sure that wouldn't happen, but it's possible. And again, he mentions, and I agree with this, could expats really be barred from EU healthcare and benefits? Well, if they did, looking at a piece of writing done by an old age pensioner who mentions we are on very expensive medication treatment at the moment, and there's no way we could afford to pay it if we are barred from having health care. So there's a lot of reasons to remain in the EU.
Okay, Myra, what's your answer to that?
Both,
just a
Very quick preamble, Myra. Okay. As you know, Norway has a bilateral agreement with the European Union.
Yes. Mm.
And they have the exact same EHIC, the blue card, yes, that we have for health cover.
As does Liechtenstein and Norway. But that's if we something else that we're not being told, that we could remain within the EEA, which we'd have the same rights as those EEA countries, including Switzerland, which is not an EEA country, but in the monetary system, and they also have the same rights. They're the positives, but we don't know if that agreement's going to be met. But as regards the gentleman, the Labour gentleman that was just on, and the question from Christine about the healthcare, first of all, to the Labour gentleman saying about, will we have to pay our healthcare? If we look and we check that this agreement that Merkel and Cameron had is to do with the EU workers, they're talking about if they're not there for 4 years, not being able to avail of the benefits, including healthcare, even though they may be paying social security. Do you really think Spain's going to accept that if that happens to the Spanish there? Do we really think that Spain's going to say, all right, I know what the Spanish authorities are doing now with systematic checking of residencia. A lot of people are not aware. I know they're doing it because I have the proof and the letters. So already we're in danger. Already we're in danger. This was before the whole referendum thing as regards, because every country's thinking the same. Let's get rid of immigrants. We're immigrants too. EU immigrants. And if Britain, so that's very quickly. So Britain's made this agreement, which it has in February with Merkel, regards EU workers in the UK. We're going to have a problem here. Good news for Christine. If she goes since April of this year, only if you're a state healthcare pensioner, goes back to the UK, they won't need the EHIC, they can use their S1 and they will be treated, thank goodness, the same as any UK resident. That's something we need to discuss someday.
Christine, any thoughts?
Yes, I didn't realise that. Thank you very much for that, Myra. That certainly put my mind at rest. One of the points I wanted to make is that my main fear is that we will not be a united Europe. We haven't had a war in 77 years.
I agree.
And I think that this is at the core of all the arguments. Mm. It will just, Europe will break up. Already there are rumblings of Italy wanting a referendum, France wanting a referendum, and it'll just be, as I say, we'll just be fragmented and we'll all be disenfranchised in one way or another.
Well, funnily enough, you say that there was a poll carried out for the Telegraph, Daily Telegraph newspaper, I think it was about a week ago, which was alluded to, I think, I can't remember who said it, one of you or Graham Bigney in France, but they surveyed 6,000 people suggesting that other countries might be interested in having a referendum. For Spain, 26% of Spanish people in this survey, anyway, suggested that they would like Spain to have a referendum. On the EHIC, Charles, I mean, if pensioners, because we're talking about pensioners specifically in this case, because if you're working, then you theoretically have to pay Social Security. Wherever you're from, you have to pay the Social Security each month. That covers your health and pension and, unemployment if you're benefit, if you're employed, if you're not autonomous or self-employed. Those pensioners are spending their money. They're getting their money in sterling, and they're spending their euros and their money in Spain. So Spain would be very, very interested in keeping those people, large swathes of those 283,000, keep them in Spain, and therefore would come to some sort of bilateral deal with the UK on health.
I'm sure that's the case. I jotted something down earlier today. Where we're looking at the EU healthcare and its benefits and whether we would keep those benefits. And it's interesting that British Pats also claim to pay their own way in Europe, as the UK paid $474 million in 2014-15 to other European countries for the treatment of UK nationals. However, this is interesting, the UK received just $49 million from other European countries in the same year to treat those from other countries resided in the UK.
Interesting point. We've got John from Mikas on the line, who has a slightly different point of view. John, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. There was some just confusion on that. If a person comes here on holiday and they use the European health card, that gets billed back to the UK. as indeed a Spanish person in the UK getting treatment gets billed back to here. But a person who's living here, like myself, residential, and my Filipino wife is resident, UK pays something like $3,000, I think it's a fixed amount, per year for our cover, regardless of whether we have any treatment or not.
Mm.
And I don't think that will change. There's no reason. That's an agreement between Spain and the UK. And in, so on paper, nothing to do with the EU.
Myra?
Okay. The agreements with pensions, with health, but the agreements, there is agreement with Spain and the Spain on healthcare, as you say. But we actually, the thing is, we don't know what agreements will hold. Will, if you come out of the EU, it's to do with the EU as well. It's not just to do with. This healthcare is all to do within the EU, just as the EHIC, and I have to just say, which I didn't say, that a pensioner may be able to go back on their S1, but if they're driving through France and driving through another country or visiting other countries, and non-pensioners will not be able to use a EHIC, I would think, because it's European health card. We have to understand that anything that says Europe will be no longer the right of a British person resident here. And again, we don't know if Britain, like I said, on the pro side for the Brexit, that Britain does have an, social security agreements with many countries that are not in the EU. So yes, it could be likely, and I would think it would have to keep an agreement with Spain. I would hope so, but we can't say 100%, can we? But there are all the other issues.
Before we go to Christine in our studio in Marbella, back to John. John, isn't this one of the things, because as I understand it from hearing your comments on Viewpoint regularly on Talk Radio Europe, you would be in favour of the UK leaving. The big thing that that people are concerned about, every aspect of this, is the uncertainty, an unnecessary uncertainty, but you don't think that that's a problem?
Well, I don't, but that's a bigger question. But just going back on this health thing, if you remember, I sent you a quote some while ago that people who were living here, and it was on the 27th of April, about 3 years ago, if no matter where they come from in the world, I have an American friend who had residency here at that time, and anyone who had residency at that time who could not get medical cover any other way because they couldn't afford it, automatically get free cover in Spain. So that would apply to me. Even if the UK didn't pay, under that agreement, because I had lived here on that date, myself and my wife would get free medical cover anyway.
So you're saying that because this agreement is in force now, if the UK were to leave and the UK didn't pay your health cover in Spain, if you like, that Spain would pay for it anyway?
Yes. I say an American friend, as an example, who's actually spent most of his life, as far as I know, working life in China, but he's actually registered here as living here. When his insurance went up to about $5,000 a year, because he's pretty old, he immediately went and got this one, and he's free. He gets national health cover in Spain for nothing.
Thanks, John. We're going to have to squeeze in. We're really out of time. Thanks, John, for that. Bye. Briefly, Richard O has tweeted, for 100 years following Waterloo, Britain was out of Europe, but then Britain was its greatest. Okay, thanks for that. Christine, go ahead. You've got about a minute, maybe. Or a little bit less. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay, fine. I do see the gentleman's point, John, I believe, from Mijas, but I feel that he is perhaps a little naive in his outlook, because I think a lot of things are going to change. And if we pull out, the prediction is 10 years. Now, what happens in the interim period? I could be dead by then. What is going to happen? Nobody is making clear. We've got this report and that report, and absolutely, it's as clear as mud as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely agree.
But I still say, let's stay in Europe.
Ladies and gent, thank you very much for being with us. Pity we couldn't sort of squeeze more stuff in, but such is the clock watching. We're out of time. Many thanks to Graham Pigney from Say Yes to Europe and his son Rob, Myra Cecilia Tsopardi from Citizens Advice Bureau Spain, Christine Rowland from Conservatives in Europe, speaking on her own behalf, of course, Dr. Charles Betty from International Labour, and of course all of you for listening, calling, tweeting, Skyping and posting. Britain Decides is co-produced by Rob Humphreys. It's repeated tonight at 6 p.m. And you can also, you've got a week to stream or download it from our website at talkradioeurope.com. Notwithstanding the direction you choose to take the programme in, my dear Talk Radio Europeans, next week we'll be asking whether Britain will be more secure inside or outside the EU. We'll be joined by Professor Andrew Geddes from the University of Sheffield, Professor David Aboulafia from Cambridge University, and Fabian Picardo, the Chief Minister of Gibraltar. That's just about it. Remember, you can...
Stephen, I'm just going to jump in. It feels like we've touched the surface and started to dig into this issue about the sort of what affects us as expats. And of course, we're coming back and talking about this more on June the 8th when Myra will be back in. And I'd very much hope that our other guests will be able to come back in as well, if that's possible. So.
That's it. Thanks, Rob. Speak to you all tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.